Lovebrachi tistarik. Susega dompar ay kopyang mo jo mai moga cho yokar. A Frankie Fernandez, Melbourne, Australia so tumka yo goin cho kobro koknitlan pawita. Surwatek ek koloni. Hoja nasola amcho nimano kobran cho bulletin ya warsa cho. Hacha upran ami tumka fudle warsa jana racha minan nyotele. Pun sodiak surwat korta gelya sumanatlo kobro. Goa ani daman. Archdiocese hacho archbishop. Philip Neri Cardinal Ferro Hane, Kodit Kalanki Pap Saib, Francis, India Ani Goyat, Yonk Asheta, Ani Goyish Horkalacho Rajpal, P. H. Ridharan Pile Hachalagi Magni Keligi Tane, Kendra Sorkalagi Hacheveshi, Amantrana Baptin, Basabas Talukur Chimun.
I wish and pray that our governor can play a significant role in ensuring that there is an official written invitation from our union government to the Holy Father to visit India. I think that will be a very great blessing. Cardinal-elect George Cavalcant is in charge of the apostolic journeys. I think the visit of the Holy Father will gladden our hearts. And I know that Pope Francis is longing to visit India. I'm sure, Your Excellency, you can play a role in ensuring that an official written invitation is sent by our union government to the Holy Father so that all of us can have the joy of having the visit of Pope Francis to our country.
So, Gilji, Asha Asli ki Pap Saint Francis, Salu Astrolia, Bagyon San Francis Xavier, Hache Exposition, Goyant Astolomun, Punhe Zamuna, Hache Karan Muller, Kendra Sarkaran, Faote Amundron, Divunamun. Dusri Khobor, Cash for Jobs, O, Dudu Divun Sarkari Service Gyoche Scam, Hache Bakhtin Gelia Sumanan, Virudhi Poks, Congress Hane, Faote Karvai Kurchemun, Sarkaralagi Maglen, दक्षिण गोयचो खासदार मेंबर ऑफ पार्लियामेंट कॅप्टन विराटो फर्नांडिस हाणे पणजे हांगा उलयताना हे सांगले.
हाऊ विल सीएम टेक एक्शन? द एंटायर स्कॅम इज एट हिज डोरस्टेप. या फुल पै सगळे प्रिझर्व्ड पै केला हे करप्शन कॅश फॉर जॉब. हे सीएम इज द आवय बापूय. ही हॅज प्रिझाइडेड ओव्हर ऑल दिस अँड दॅट इज वाय ही इज नॉट doing a proper justice lokang lagun ani hatun kon mar khata je deserving student je avay bapain cost karun tanga shikayle loan kadlolo most deserving students tanche kade paise na to pay the bribe va sarkar sangta bribe do danda karo
khabar anjuna hangason काय महिने आधी आम्ही दाखवून दिले कसे तरेन हांगा रावतेले लोकांचो दीस आनी रात म्हणून आसताना हांगा धंदो करतलो हाणे व्हडले मुस्क वाजोवन लोकांचो हाल करून उडयलो तो. गेल्ल्या सुमारात हांगा ग्रामसभा झाली हातून डॉक्टर इनासियो फर्नांडीस हाचेर अटक केलो. हे बाबतीन अंजुना पुलीस स्टेशनाचेर केस बीन रजिस्टर केल्ली आहा. डॉक्टर इनासियो फर्नांडीस आमकां सांगता.
मिस्टर गजानन तेलवे who has on previous occasions also threatened me when I have taken video recordings of the violations being done by Purple Martini venue. So on this occasion, what he did was he just came from the door, pushed me. I fell about 1 to 2 meters. And after that, he hit me on my head and on my face. And after that, the police came in immediately. Even after the police have come in, he still managed to get 1-2 hits on him. I have, as of now, registered a complaint. As a doctor, if in the Gram Sabha this is allowed, and anyone from outside, not even interested in the issues of the village, is able to rile people up, is able to agitate villagers, local villagers, and get them to disrupt a Gram Sabha and even come and violently abuse someone in front of the panchayat, the villagers, and I do not know what is the future of Anjuna village. And the entire issue that I have picked up in this year was about noise pollution, was about maintaining the decorum set by the state, by the High Court of Goa, by the Pollution Control Board.
The Riojana Samche Susega Dampar Goincha Kobro, Melbourne, Australia son. आणि पट कोळी करता की हो जाण असलांचो ह्या वर्षाचो निमाणो न्यूज बुलेटिन. मेळूया जानेराच्या महिन्यांत फुडल्या वर्षाक. ते मेरेन मोगा सुंदी.
कसातल्या माकडा भाषेन वाढयतात केसो बाकी म्हणटा रॉक 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 बेश्टी बँडा आलोयता कसलो रे दास बाबा गिदा भाषेन पाकते फुलोयता कितें बाबा रॉक 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 दिसता मोटोरा चलोयता कितें कोता कोण जाणा मोदेच नाचताना लायटूय पालोयता
मगाचो योकार हांव रिची उलयतां आयच्या सुशेगाद दनपार कोंकणी रेडियो प्रोग्रामार म्हज्या सांगाताज आसा म्हजी इश्टीन शायला आनी आमचो आमच्या सांगाताज आसा आमची सैरी इवा सो कशी हांवें शायला तू जाली सनवाराची कामां जाली गी तुजी
सनवाराचे ना आज क्रिसमसाचे तयारी सुरू जाले
वय
ट्री उक्ते करूंक
डेकोरेशन
इलेशे क्लिनींग डेकोरेशना पयले आनी म्हजे म्हजो तीन पुतक इलेशे बोब मारीजे काम करूंक
ओके ओके
ओके इट वॉज अ गूड सॅटरडे
तुवें फ्रायडे तुज्या गेल्ले गे तूं ब्लॅक फ्रायडे शॉपिंगाक
ना हांव ऑनलायन केले
पुरो ऑनलायन केले सो इज दॅट अ ब्रेथ ऑफ फ्रेश एअर इन टर्म्स ऑफ
हियरिंग
समथींग न्यू इवा
You know what? It's fascinating. It feels like a bit of a game for me because I'm picking up on certain words. Black Friday, online shopping. So I'm starting to form a picture of what this conversation might be about. It's a good one for the brain.
Yeah, so what we said, Eva, is that Maya Mogatso Yokar means love greetings to all who are listening to our radio. And I asked Shaila, how was Saturday? Sanwar is Saturday. And normally Saturday is a day when all of us get down to doing some household chores. And what Shaila said is she's getting prepared for Christmas and she's shouting at her three young boys.
To get some work done.
To get some work done. So that's a bit of an introduction to you about the Konkani language, which must be pretty foreign to you. Tell us something about yourself, Eva. Self-introduction is the best to tell our audience who you are, where are you from, and
what do you do?
And what do you do?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, Shaila, for making the introduction. Shaila and myself, we know each other, of course, because of our connection to a studio where Shaila has been coming to for her well-being and fitness.
Yeah, 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
Wow, and that's amazing.
Loving it, yeah. 6 months.
So I'm the owner of Vital Energy Yoga and Movement, which I would term as an SMT training studio. SMT stands for Slow Movement Training. Mm-hmm. And the hallmarks of slow movement training are, first of all, the integration of a great awareness for how you control your breathing when you exercise. And the other one is proprioceptive awareness, which means a greater awareness for how you engage your muscles each time you produce a particular movement or movement pattern. And so the most obvious example, which most people would be aware of, is yoga, for example, mm-hmm. would be a type of slow movement training. But in saying that, the most basic thing that somebody might do when they're doing slow movement training is maybe just being on their fours, doing spinal waves and breathing in a very, very aware and conscientious way when they go into that simple spinal wave movement. And then within that, it's infiltrated into all other forms of training that we do at the studio, which could be strength training, for example. It could be a form of down regulation type of training where we are doing slow stretching. Because at the end of the day, vital energy is about creating a balanced body. It's not about being the most flexible body. Being able to put your leg behind your head is a very, very low priority for us. But it's actually building a balanced body which is a union of mind, body, and spirit. And that's what we're all about.
So, so tell us something about yourself. Where are you from? What
led you to?
What led you to this current place, which is your bread and butter for a living, or is it just a passion?
Right. Well, my family's originally from Malaysia. We moved to New Zealand in the mid '80s, and what led me to yoga had nothing to do with me being, a starving musician who was looking for...
That's something I didn't know about you.
Who was looking for a guru in India to transform my life. In fact, I'm very sad to report that I had a very, very mediocre, middle-class, bourgeois lifestyle.
Okay.
I was the third of three siblings. My father was the managing director of a very well-known pharmaceutical company. We led a very, very comfortable middle-class life in Malaysia. And back then, you know, we had a driver, we had a couple of maids, and, you know, that, I'm ashamed to say, was my lifestyle. and this translated into me later in my life, going to Auckland University, gaining my law degree. So I was really a boring lawyer. there were a couple of transitions through life in terms of career. I, at some point in my life, became a real estate agent. Oh, my God, even more boring. This is not a good report card. And then from there, I decided actually that I was really passionate about wanting to work with artists, because I myself had no artistic talent. So, of course, my first port of call was to actually be an agent for artists, not having any artistic talent myself. And so I formed a film sales agency where I would represent documentary filmmakers from New Zealand to begin with. And I thought, hey, there's going to be a huge demand for documentaries from New Zealand. And this was my business plan. Wrong. That was not the greatest business plan, but hey, I had a great time. But it expanded into me actually representing producers and filmmakers from all over the world. And one of my proudest moments was when I secured the representation of an Oscar-winning film, an Oscar-winning documentary, and then my little film sales agency in New Zealand became known as the film sales agency that would represent critically acclaimed Oscar-winning documentaries that basically made no money.
Documentary films often do.
Documentary films often do, but I was passionate, you know. Yeah. And 7-8 years later, it just became incredibly exhausting. And so I was this, you know, middle-class lawyer, former lawyer, who had formed this company, which I was incredibly passionate about. And but passion only drove me so far, and then I just became exhausted. And in between renovating our lovely house in Dessau 10 Epsom, and playing a lot of tennis, I chanced upon some yoga classes. And that was basically what led my journey, was my desire to seek some kind of solace through the practice. And I think that's what often draws most of us in mainstream culture, is the picture of yoga as this slow-moving, serene practice that can solve all of our problems. Isn't it, Shyla?
I agree. I chanced on Vital Energy because a colleague at work said, hey, I know someone who... I was talking about, a sore back or something like that.
And it always starts with a sore back.
It always starts with a sore back. And she mentioned Vital Energy to me, and she said, look, I go once a week. And I thought, okay, maybe, you know, once a week sounds doable. It's not too strenuous. Of course, for me, the concern was I was not interested in the spiritual aspect of yoga. And so that actually got my attention, because she said it's not about the spiritual yoga, it's about breathing and movement. So I made an appointment, went to see Eva. And I think that was it. I now go 5 times a week, every single day, and I can't get enough of it.
So, Eva, you come from the Asian subcontinent, and Oriental therapies, which are like different therapies like Tai Chi and, you know, certain other areas with the Chinese or the Japanese or the Koreans really practice to relax and to meditate upon. What drew you to yoga when you had all these available to you from the Asian subcontinent?
I'm going to be blunt with you, Richard. I really wanted to do the splits. I feel really shallow telling you this, but I used to be able to do the splits really easily when I was a little kid. And what drew me to yoga was basically these incredibly seductive pictures of young, lithe women being able to perform these incredible feats of flexibility. I'm really ashamed to tell you that, but it's the truth. And I think for any woman who was in my position, you know, post-baby, 3 babies later, perhaps not feeling terribly confident about their bodies because they've gained a few pounds, and then imagining that yoga is the elixir of youth that is going to fix all of our problems, And that is truthfully, Richard, what drew me to yoga. Mm-hmm. Not the idea to be able to sit in a space cross-legged, to be able to meditate was as far away from my mind as possible. But the idea to be able to do the splits on Onitangi and Waiheke on the beach was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can make this
really
happen.
Successfully now. Like, I think Eva takes every opportunity wherever she is, like, standing on her head. Was it Venice Beach?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. It's like, you know, I have to do it. Look, but in saying that, it's a transformation that happens from the inside that starts from the outside. Because as a very well-known yoga teacher used to always say, it's not that your body is inflexible, it's that your mind is inflexible. It's your brain that's inflexible. And that inflexibility that often happens when we become very accustomed to a certain pattern of living. I'm afraid to say old age as well. You know, when we get to our 40s, we become very comfortable with doing the things that we like. You know, we want our coffee a particular way at a particular time. And that routine gives us comfort. But actually, comfort is what ages you. And so what I did not anticipate was how the transformation of my body through my focus, dedication, and concentration on these different aspects of movement would alter my brain and emotional chemistry. And that, to me, is still the biggest revelation. You know, flexible mind, flexible body.
So when you
say the other way around,
when you say comfort is the cause of a lot of discomfort, as I would say, well, I'm tempted to say that the name of our program is called Sushegad.
No. Okay, translate that for me.
Which means relax. Man.
it relax is a literal translation, but when we say Sushegad, it means just enjoy. Like,
just be in the moment.
It's that feeling after you've had a sumptuous lunch.
I'm feeling it already. I'm feeling the vibes. My belly is expanding. I'm deep belly breathing. Hey, you know what? In today's society, you have to teach people how to relax.
Oh, okay.
Okay? The assumption that as soon as you go into lotus pose, you're going to be that person who's going to be oming and arming naturally is a real misconception. The majority of people who come into my studio, they do not know relaxation from work. They think they're lying down and they're relaxing, but actually their brain is elsewhere. So the ability to relax is a skill that needs to be learned and taught and learned and practiced. You have to practice how to relax.
So tell me, how did this journey start? How did you equip yourself? Did you go to India or did you...
Still waiting to go to India one day. So, you see, this is the thing. I was not this, as I said, starving musician, you know, with a bohemian lifestyle, you know, drinking from the cup and thinking that, like the Beatles, I would then make that pilgrimage to India and find my guru and then everything would be okay, you know. I have first world problems. And the term first world problems is has been turned into a meme. Like, people who live in first world nations suffer a tremendous amount of guilt about the fact that they have problems because they devalue those problems. But I'm telling you, we have some serious issues in first world nations. And I went through a stage where I felt guilty about the fact that I had so much materially, I had the house. I had the amazing husband. I hope my husband's listening to
you
this.
Have the amazing husband.
I still have the amazing husband. I have amazing kids. I had like everything that was given to me on a silver spoon and platter. Now, how could I still be feeling unease? Why do I still feel like something is not quite right?
And a sense of emptiness.
Well, I don't know what you call it. I think it's a kind of a spiritual gap. However you want to define spiritual, and it doesn't have to mean that it's aligned to a particular religion, but that sense of kind of something's missing, you know, and you feel guilty about it. But aside from that, you know, first world problems, I tell you, we have real problems because, first of all, the highest rates of depression. And not in Hawaii or Samoa. It's in first world nations, you know. True. You go to Hawaii, everyone's happy there. They're lying in the sun. They've got the beach. Yeah. You come back and then you get depressed, right? Highest rates of depression. First world nations is probably worse now that we've been through the pandemic. And the Z generation, they are suffering. They are struggling with mental health. The second thing is non-communicable diseases, diabetes, and heart disease. They are at the highest in our first world nations. And this, with all of the health advances that we have been blessed with
doesn't make sense
in these decades. So there's a concept called the compression of morbidity, which was theorized by a Stanford professor by the name of James Fry. And Fry's theory was that if we could compress the period of morbidity, that would increase or elevate the quality of life. Meaning, if you can compress the period of suffering towards the end of life, that would be a great life, right? Yay, we're living for longer. We're also suffering a lot longer. Right? And on a very personal note, you know, a perfect example would be somebody like my dad. He was in his early 50s, like my age, when he had his first heart incident. And he basically struggled after that through a series of strokes and, you know, medical challenges. And he really struggled for about 25 years.
Wow.
And that's a long time to be suffering.
Yeah.
So we need to look at compression of morbidity and why that is such an issue in our first world nations. They're first world problems and they're real.
So we'll take a short break, listen to some music.
I love it.
Yeah, okay, and then we'll come back.
And we'll come back, yeah.
Yeah.
Sarata ni kena kon tu so Nidololo astana Oja piego le osle Solo mande cosna Subi cerun tosle Mor partan de one yevu Kushikte moja posne Ek es korek moje Kalis mogan lasne Kalzat moja moga to Uzo dane peto ilo
তুমি একতা সুশেগা দনপার কোঙ্কনি রেডিও প্রোগ্রাম অকল্যান্ড আসো কোঙ্কনি রেডিও প্রোগ্রাম এক্সচেঞ্জ 4.0 প্ল্যানেট এফ এম ওয়ে দান ব্রডকাস্ট করতাম মুজা সঙ্গতা আসা শৈলা মুজি ইস্টন ব্রডকাস্ট করতা হরিকা সনবরা আনি আমচে গেস্ট ইভা Eva, I didn't get your last name. Is there a last name or you don't believe in a last name?
I very much believe in a last name.
Okay.
It's Piggio.
Okay.
Piggio.
Okay. So, Eva, before we broke for this song, Sopan, which is called Sopan Fotelo, talks about how the dream really went bust.
Breaking the fear.
Oh, no. He sounded a bit sad.
Yeah, yeah. So the dream has gone bust.
Okay. He needs to do some yoga.
So before we broke, there are two things which I picked up from your conversation.
Yeah.
One is that the mind is inflexible and the body is flexible. And people think that the body is inflexible, but the mind is flexible. So we want to deal a bit more on that. And then you talked about this concept of compressed morbidity. I'm hearing it for the first time. And it's quite an interesting thing that I've sort of picked up. Learn something new every day. Let's start on the first part of it. Yeah. I leave you to go ahead and talk about this inflexibility of the, mind and the flexibility of the body.
Yeah, well, the body goes where the mind and the breath goes, you know. So if you're somebody who goes into a class and you go in, Richard, with your hands like this, like you're doing now, crossed over your chest, it's like you've already made up your mind, you know, that, you know, these people, they can touch their toes because they used to be gymnasts, or they're already naturally flexible. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. Like, you've already set yourself up with a narrative that you're going to fail. So there is a term in Sanskrit, and it's called samskara. So samskara is psychological scars. And samskaras, we believe we carry them with us throughout our lifetimes, not just our lifetime. And so when you have a specific way of thinking, and that specific way of thinking is what you apply every time you come into a particular situation. So even as the situation changes, you're applying the same methodology, you're going to get the same result, right? So that starts with your brain. That starts in there. But if you walk into a space with no historical baggage or narratives, then obviously the world is your oyster. Anything is possible. So if I said to you, Richard, now 6 months from today, you're going to be doing a headstand, and what's your response going to be, Richard, when I ask you that?
Well, I can do a headstand, but I require a bit of support of the wall or somebody to, you know.
Bummer, I used the wrong example. Okay, Richard, if I say to you today, 6 months from today, you're going to be doing a handstand.
That's difficult.
That's difficult.
I can't touch my toes. Perhaps I should have
picked that example.
Yeah, I can't touch my toes. I can sit cross-legged.
Okay.
And I can kneel because that was common thing.
You know what? I love the way you're thinking. I ask you a difficult question and you're telling me the list of things that you can actually do, which is the response I don't usually get from most people when they come into my studio. So maybe Richard's not a good example.
I just want to go back yes. a little bit to what you just said. You know,
yes.
when you said that, you know, you need to have an empty mind when you enter someplace. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a Buddhist concept where they say you need to empty your mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you can absorb something new? Just like if you want to fill in another cup of tea, you have to finish that cup of tea. You just can't keep on, you know, saying.
Right, otherwise the brain explodes, right?
You keep layering
over it. And actually, there's so many shared threads between Buddhism and Hinduism. Yeah. And at the very basis of yoga is the destruction of the ego.
We want to
destroy the ego so that the brain is empty. Having an empty brain is not a insult. It's actually the highest form of meditation that you can achieve, which is to have that empty mind. And that happens when you are able to control your breathing. And that's why yoga is, in fact, an eight-limbed proposition. So in modern day mainstream culture, we often associate yoga with movements of flexibility, being able to do the splits like I thought when I started doing yoga,
yeah.
being able to put your leg behind your head and all these crazy movements that you see people going into. But in fact, yoga as a concept is an eight-limbed concept in which there are, for example, rules around social conduct, around self-care, the science of breathing, which is known as pranayama, which is your fourth limb of yoga, asana, which is your third limb, which is in fact just one-eighth of what yoga in fact is, and that's what we do a lot of at the studio. And then there's another concept, which is pratyahara, which is the exclusion of the five senses. So you try and put your five senses aside so that you can go into the body and really focus on what you're trying to achieve. So it's an eight-limbed proposition. And the execution of yoga is so much more complex than just doing those poses.
You know, you were talking about emptying your mind before you can. And I remember one of the things that got my attention with Eva was when she said, you're going to be standing on your head. And the intriguing thing was, my thought was, how can you see that? Like, what have you seen that tells you I can stand on my head? So when you talk about emptying your mind or, you know, of your ego, there's also the understand or the kind of the perspective that you don't know what to empty your head of. Like when I first talked to you and I said, you know, at this age I'm expecting to, you know, there's certain things I know I won't be. It was, I wouldn't have assumed that was not true, because, you know, you it's almost kind of you've been raised, or you society defines at this age you do this, young people do this, you know, at a certain age you do this, your aging means this. And it seems like the science, it seems like the truth, and it didn't even occur to me that that's a limitation of your own mind. So even to empty your mind, you have to be aware of what to, like, you don't assume that this is something you have to empty. So it was that sentence that Eva said to me when she said, you're going to be standing on your head. And I thought, oh, that was not in my realm of thinking that I could do. So now I just wait for her to say things. I'm going, yeah, okay, I can see that I will do it someday.
Yeah.
And honestly, some things have come much sooner than I expected them to come.
So Eva, you mentioned in passing about the breath, the pranayama as such.
Mm.
Can you expand on that a bit?
It's
a very significant aspect, because that's the basis of our living, breathing.
Without breath, nothing is there.
So, I've used that example quite a number of times with people by saying that I don't know what is the biological principle that you start breathing as soon as the child is born. You tap the kid on the back and the child starts breathing. Mm. But when a person is, you know, about to move into the next world, and you can do all sorts of exercises to pump and to, you know, give jerks, you can't get that breath back. So can you expand a bit of how it works within this whole concept of flexibility?
Mm. So I guess we could look at the body on two levels. There's what we call the gross body and then the subtle body. So the gross body is the body that we see, and it's comprised of all the things that we can, you know, dissect and look at maybe under a microscope, like your blood vessels and, you know, your muscular tissue, your connective tissues. That is what makes your gross body. We can see all those things. And then there's the subtle body that we cannot see. So, for example, you wake up in the morning, oh, my energy levels are so low. Or you wake up the next day, you've had a great night's sleep, oh, your energy levels are so high. So that's the type of energy that is a part of that subtle body that we don't completely understand, but we can feel it. We know it's there, yeah? So on a purely scientific level, when we talk about breath in the gross body, of course, it's important to be able to take control of how you breathe, because scientifically speaking, the way that you breathe can impact your overall emotional well-being and your physical well-being. And we practice this a lot at the studio. And so, in fact, the way that we breathe, the control of the breath, as I mentioned at the very start, is one of the core values of slow movement training. Learning how to, for example, breathe diaphragmatically is the healthiest way to breathe that is going to produce a certain sense of well-being in your body. Because obviously, you know, I can't take you through a whole session on how to breathe diaphragmatically here, but in very short summary, when you breathe diaphragmatically, you're inhaling oxygen at its optimal levels, and then you're disposing of the carbon dioxide that comes out of it. And, you know, our body is just the waste system. Oxygen comes in, carbon dioxide is waste, and it needs to leave. But if you have that accumulation of waste in your body, that's where we start to feel unwell, and we have these blockages, right? And at the same time, if you're not inhaling oxygen in an optimal way because your chest breathing all the time, first of all, your body and your brain thinks you're in fight or flight mode. You're in fight or flight mode. And so it sets off a whole other chain of reaction of autonomic processes in your body. Your heart rate is elevated. Your blood pressure goes up. These are not good things to be feeling consistently over the course of 24 hours. Yes, for example, me sitting here, my heart rate might be a little bit up because I'm so worried about what Rich is going to ask me next. That's a natural response.
I'll give you some breathing time and let's listen to some music.
Okay.
Thank you.
తుమియ గాయన ఐక తన మకాయి కూడా సైలో కొని దన్పరా నీదు కాన్ బస్లెజ్జలారు కాయి కర్ణాంజలారా సంజేరు మ్యూజికల్ ఆన్ సంబల్ మునస బ్లాక్ హౌస్ బే కమ్యూనిటీ పాన్స్వరాదావును దెర్ అబౌట్ రఫ్లీ అరౌండ్ 10 కోయర్స్ సింగింగ్ were participating in this function organized by the Melting Pot. So the ticket prices are $10. Please come in and encourage those who have taken the initiative of...
It's really good music, actually. Yeah. It's really good.
Just to let you know, Shaila, even I am in one of the choirs.
Oh my gosh. That's impressive.
And our choir is called Probably a Choir. So please do come. Those who are having a Sushega Danpar, it starts at 5 and just encourage everybody who's there.
Yeah, and even if you're not having a Sushega Danpar, take a break. Come see some people who are doing something different.
Yeah. So we stopped on that note about breath, Eva. Just progressing further, let's talk about morbidity. You said, you know, you mentioned about this professor who talks about if you could just compress that morbidity, we could have a better quality of life. Can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously we're living for longer, mm-hmm. which is great. But why are we also suffering ill health for a longer period of time? And, you know, when you sort of look at all of the improvements that we've made in, you know, health technology, in fact, health should be greater, but it's not. And it's, I guess, mostly a function of industrialization in modern society, is that, first of all, we don't move as much. Mm-hmm. We drive everywhere. And by the way, I love my car. I'm not trying to advocate the prohibition of cars. I love my technology. But we're not moving as much. We drive everywhere. And then there is the issue of food and the packaging of food and how readily available food is. In a way that we actually don't need to really question what the nutritional value or macros are in the foods that we put in our mouths.
So you're almost saying everything's too convenient and too easy.
Everything is too convenient. We've become very sedentary. So again, it's convenience. Like everything that technology has been created for is to give us convenience in life. And unfortunately, that convenience comes with a very, very high cost. Mm. And so this is the reason why we're suffering. We're living for longer, but we're also suffering ill health for longer. And you can make changes. You can make changes to lifestyle. And everyone just needs to question and figure out what actually works for them, because it's a very individual pursuit, you know. So Shaila, for instance, she's found a combination that works for her. Yeah. But I do think it all starts with an awareness for your body. Yeah. That awareness for... And having that mental space to create space, carving out time in the course of the day to be able to just give space to that prefrontal cortex, which is where we have the processing, you know, of the of daily activities taking place all the time. And having that consciousness to just have some perspective of what's going on. So we have all this technology that's designed to apparently give us a greater, to have more time, to have more leisure time. But I feel like in some cases we have less time.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? We're rushing around mindlessly sometimes. And so first and foremost, like create space in your timetable during the course of the week. Maybe it's to go take a walk on the beach. Maybe it's to sit down, do journal. Maybe
it's a good time at this this time of the year when you're kind of thinking about resolutions for the new year?
Yeah.
And where you want to think about things?
Absolutely. And hey, you know, PSA, as a matter of fact, I have a special discount code for your listeners, which I'm going to throw in. Yay.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
But yeah, look, carving the space to not be afraid to sit down and confront stillness is a good start. And then where do you go from there? Is, you know, again, the world is your oyster.
So that work actually leads you to that compression of mobility. So you're not just lingering in a space where you're consciously making the turn so that you change the kind of your health trajectory over those years.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I think most people don't even realize that, for example, certain things that they might be eating consistently on a regular basis might not be the best choices. How often do people, you know, look at the nutritional values of what they're buying at the supermarket? Because we don't have time. It's like we want instant gratification.
Correct.
And we want quick meals, you know. 5-ingredient recipe. Thank you, Jamie.
5 ingredients, 5 minutes.
And, you know, 10 meals in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Quick, quick, quick. Everything is quick, quick, quick. And this is where slow movement training is so valuable.
And you actually increase time.
And you can do slow movement training in so many forms. It's not just about down-regulating. You can have up-regulating you know, activities where you're lifting weights in a very conscious way. And you're going to sweat, as Shyla can attest to that.
Yeah.
That slow movement training gives you space to process going on.
So I'll give you 2 minutes. You know, what's the gender
Goodness,
bias?
I feel the pressure now.
Well, just because we're running out of time, but that's a good question. I want.
So, what's the gender bias? You know, men are like, you know, I know all that, man. Don't tell me what it is. Whereas the women are like, you know, let me try, let me explore.
They listen.
And stuff. And they go on, you know.
I'm worried about the direction of this questioning.
So, what is your recommendation? That, you know, I don't know what's the mix that you get at your studio, but what's your recommendation to men? Men mostly are like, tell me, I know what to do. I'm one of them.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Do I have to pitch to you now?
No, you don't have to pitch to me.
Why don't you tell Richard about some of the work you're doing with some new men's?
Yeah.
You started a men's group.
I started
My wife was shouting
class.
At me yesterday. You
right.
Know, I told one of my friends, you know, don't disturb me now. I'm eating ice cream. So my wife shouted.
A man's got to be able to eat his ice cream in peace.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. He didn't tell me what time it was.
She was shouting from the other end, can you stop eating the ice cream? And I went and bought another cup and I ate it.
You see what happens when we tell our husbands not to eat ice cream? They go eat more ice cream. It's the dynamics. Hey, so typical yoga studio demographics, gender base, it's like for every 2 men who might be at the studio, you'll get 8 women.
Wow.
So it's really sad. I don't know, perhaps those numbers change depending on country to country, but typically in New Zealand, that's what you would see. Like maybe 20% of the men who turn up in fact, the hapless husbands whom their wives have signed them up for and told them they had to come. So, of course, they're going to come in with their arms crossed and thinking, what the hell am I doing here? Oops, sorry, yeah. I swore. Not sure if I'm supposed to do that. And it's not the best way to start, and that's not how I want to welcome men into my studio. I'd like to encourage women to lift weights, which is typically a form of activity that women who love doing yoga actually do not love doing.
Yeah.
And I love encouraging men who love going to the gym and lifting weights or eating ice cream to come to my studio and down-regulate, because it's about balance, Richard. At the end of the day, it is about balance. So we create all kinds of opportunities to encourage men to come and experience what slow movement training is like. And I can make you sweat in slow movement training. Do not worry about that.
That is true.
So Shyla mentioned this new men's class that we've started. It's called Dynamic 50. And in 50 minutes, we teach you a blend of calisthenics. I don't know if you're familiar with the term calisthenics, but it's old-style bodyweight-based training. And combine it with yogic principles of breathing and movement. It's a very powerful, physically challenging session where you get stronger by body weight based drills. And in fact, what I want to end with is that people often associate yoga as this kind of very soft practice where you lie down, take a nap, and then get up when teacher says, hey, Shavasana is over. No, because in fact, the term hatha, which is a style of yoga training, people always think it means ha, the stars and the moon, ha and tha, you know, they kind of really romanticize this. Actually, hatha means the exertion of a forceful will. So you are exerting a forceful will to create transformation of the body.
In fact, I wish I had some more time to have a long chat with you, Eva, but we are running out of time. Thank you very much
for coming here on a
Saturday afternoon. Thank you, Shyla. I drew you out of your house. Your husband must be shouting at you.
No.
Okay.
I've got a lovely husband.
Fantastic. Okay. Enjoy the rest of your evening, Sushagat Dhanpar listeners. And as Shyla said, please do come and encourage the choirs at Blockhouse Bay. Come with a $10 note. The entry fees is $10. And wish you a very, very good evening and a blessed week ahead.
We're off already.